In a logo, a fishing bobber drops into a pool of blue water, which reflects a crescent moon. Our view soars up into the sky, where a boy sits on the moon's edge holding a fishing pole. Amid billowing clouds, we float past giant block letters, DreamWorks SKG. DreamWorks Pictures presents a Mark Johnson production. A fireball in space creates a title, Galaxy Quest. In an old TV show, a starship drops out of warp and soars toward us. On the bridge, a preteen boy pilots the ship.
Exiting time not now, sir.
We are alive.
We made it, Commander. We made it.
By grub, Thar's hammer, we live to tell the tale.
Systems registered functional.
All systems are working, Commander.
I don't like it. It was too easy.
Wait! Oh no! They're everywhere! There are time-rats opening everywhere!
Trap!
We're surrounded, Commander.
Parco cannonfire rocks the ship. A curly-haired crewman rushes forward and makes a face.
It's a core meltdown, sir. It can't be stopped.
Surrender may be our only option.
No! Never give up. Never surrender.
Your orders, sir?
The buxom crewmate looks to the captain.
Sir, your orders!
The mulleted captain looks up with a serious expression.
Activate the Omega-13.
Words appear on a screen at a sci-fi convention. To be continued.
Well, there you are.
Yeah. A mustached man stands on stage at a podium. He faces a large crowd dressed as characters from the Galaxy Quest TV show.
You are the first people to see the Lost Galaxy Quest episode 92, two-parter, since it was originally aired in 1982. Huh? Yeah. All right. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the intrepid crew of the NSEA Protector! Yeah!
In a dressing room, a middle-aged man wearing a fish-like alien skull cap sits at a vanity mirror with a dour look. The curly-haired actor from the show sits opposite the cast's pilot, who is now a grown man.
Man, where in the hell is he? An hour and a half late? An hour and a half?
I mean, this is unreal. They're gonna start eating each other out there.
Oh, did you hear? He booked another appearance without us.
You're kidding.
On stage, an employee signals the mustache man to extend his intro. In the dressing room, the middle-aged man drops a makeup brush.
How did I come to this?
Not again.
I played Richard III.
Five curtain calls.
There were five curtain calls. I was an actor once. Damn it, now look at me. Look at me! I can't go out there and I won't say that stupid line. One more time.
He stomps away from the vanity.
I can't. I won't.
Well, Alex, at least you had a part. Okay? You had a character people loved. I mean, my TV Guide interview was six paragraphs about my boobs and how they fit into my suit. No one even bothered to ask me what I do on the show.
You had the... Wait, I'll think of it.
I repeated the computer, Fred.
Whew! Your commander is on deck. Ha-ha! Wow, that smog is thick today, huh? Am I too late for Alexander's panic attack?
Alexander buries his head in his hands.
Apparently not. You know, you should get that looked at.
The commander pokes Alex's skull cap, then notices his castmates' lackluster expressions.
What did I do?
The pilot glares.
What?
On stage.
For those four seasons, we developed the same affection for the crew as the crew had for each other. I mean, these weren't just... adventurers exploring space?
Friends.
These were friends.
Unbelievable.
You are so full of it, man!
It's not a big deal. These guys put a little set in their basement. I'm there about an hour. It's nothing. Gwen, they wanted the commander.
There he goes.
Alexander, wait. Grab him.
The stagehand gives the mustached man a thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Come on, old friend.
Friend. You stole all my best lines. You cut me out of episode two entirely.
Connie Madison, my personal favorite, Gwen DeMarco!
Gwen takes the stage and poses as a clip plays behind her.
Getting hotter, Commander.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's hear a warm welcome for Crack, Gunner, Lorena, Tommy Weber!
The commander pins Alexander.
You will go out there.
I won't, and nothing you say will make me.
The show must go on.
Alexander wears a conflicted expression, then sneers at the commander.
Damn you.
He strides onto the stage.
I will say that stupid line one more time.
Tiffany Alexander Day!
A clip from the show plays as Alexander places his hand on his chest and bows.
My grandfather's hammer, you shall be avenged.
Yeah!
He rolls his eyes and joins the rest of the cast.
You guys can act. And finally, my fellow Questerians, the brave commander of the NSEA Protector, Peter. Quincy. Tagger, Jason Nesbitt!
Yeah! The now graying commander takes the stage and points toward an audience member. A clip of his mulleted character plays behind him. Jason poses and speaks into a mic.
Never give up! Never surrender! Damn the resonance cannons at full speed ahead, huh?
He finds the mic turned off.
The commander and his crew will be signing autographs on Imperial Deck's C&B near the...
The rest of the cast watches him with incredulous looks. Later, they sign autographs. The mustache man pushes to the front of the line.
Fans, right?
Hey, Gwen.
Oh, hey, man, I want to thank you for that nice intro you gave us today.
Guy, you probably don't remember me, do you? It's the sunglasses, right? I was on the show in 82, episode 81. Got killed by a lava monster before the first commercial.
Guy reenacts the scene.
Listen, maybe I could sit in and sign a couple autographs?
By Grabthar's hammer, by the Sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Glowering, Alexander signs an autograph for a fan dressed like his character. Another steps forward.
By Grabthar's...
Alexander snatches the photo and signs.
Next.
Had I moved an inch to the left, the beast would have killed me. On the other hand, my crew was in danger.
How did you know what to do?
Come on. Without my crew, I'm not a commander, huh? I think we all remember what happened to that beast on Enoch 7.
Gwen watches Jason with his fans.
Gotta admit, they really do love him.
Yeah, almost as much as he loves himself.
A gangly costumed teen and his friends approach Jason.
Excuse me, Commander. Hey, I was wondering if you could help settle a dispute that my crew and I seem to be having. If you remember in Quasar Dilemma...
Excuse me for a minute, fellas.
Making eyes at Gwen, Jason steps away.
Hadn't even gotten to the relevant conundrum.
In episode 15, Mists of Delos 5, I got the feeling that you and the commander kind of had a thing. Did you?
No. The commander and I never had a thing.
Well, that's her story.
The stagehand whispers to Gwen, and she gets up from the table. She eyes Jason coldly.
Excuse me.
She walks away.
Gwen.
Glancing at Alexander, Jason follows her.
Gwen.
A group of pale, grinning people dressed as aliens salutes Gwen. Their leader approaches Jason.
Commander.
Excuse me.
I must speak to you. It is a matter of supreme importance. We are Thermians from the Klaatu Nebula, and we need your help.
Is this about the gig tomorrow? I just hammer out the details with my agent and make sure there's a limo at my house. Last time I did one of these gigs, they shoved me in the back of a Toyota. Remember, mum is the word.
Jason walks away.
Certainly, but I'm...
Mum.
Mum.
The Thermians, who are all similarly dressed, exchange looks. Jason approaches Gwen, who poses with fans dressed as her character.
Crewman Madison, the mist of this strange planet is filling my head with such thoughts.
It was cute when I didn't know you.
She lightly shoves him away and walks off. Jason looks taken aback, then notices the female fans watching. He strides off. Entering a bathroom, Jason finds all the urinals occupied by fans wearing the same alien costume. He goes into a stall as two young men enter the bathroom.
What a freak show, man. Oh, this is hilarious. Bunch of losers begging for autographs at $15 a pop. These guys haven't had a real acting job for 20 years. This is all they've got.
Dude, did you check out Nesmith? He actually gets off on those retards thinking he's a space commander.
Oh, and his friends?
I know, they can't stand him.
Did you hear him ragging on him in there?
Dude, he has no idea. He's a laughingstock, even to his buddies.
It's pathetic.
Oh, come on. The Galaxy Quest dancers are almost on.
Ooh.
Full speed ahead, Lieutenant.
Overhearing them, a mortified expression washes over Jason. Later, he robotically signs autographs without looking at the recipients. The gangly teen fan and his friends approach again.
Hey, Commander, as I was saying, in the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used the auxiliary of Deck B for, Gamma Override. The thing is that online blueprints clearly indicate that Deck B is independent of the Guidance Matrix. So we were wondering just where the error lies in that.
It's just a television show, that's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux, and I just listened on this.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Standing, Jason pushes fans out of his way as he strides off. His castmates exchange shocked looks. Nighttime. In her elegant home, Gwen talks on the phone with Alexander.
I mean it. I mean it, Alex. I've never seen him lose it like that. Not to a fan. I mean, it was just weird.
Gwen, I have said it for years. He's mentally unstable.
I'm worried. It just was not like him.
In his modern-style mansion in the Hollywood Hills, Jason wears only a button-down shirt and sits with a bottle of booze. He pours himself a drink and sips it. Picking up the TV remote, he changes channels. He perks up as an old episode of Galaxy Quest catches his eye.
As long as there's injustice, whenever a Targaryen baby cries out, wherever a distress signal sounds among
the stars,
we'll be there.
This fine ship,
this fine crew.
Never give up.
Never give up.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
He rubs his forehead with a weary expression, then takes another sip of his drink. Morning. Jason lies face down on the carpet by the sofa. The now empty bottle of booze sits on the table. Jason stirs awake. He spots the Thermian standing outside his glass-walled home, knocking on the window and grinning at him. They straighten from their bent positions as he gets to his feet.
Oh.
They press their fists to their chests in salute. Facing them, he briefly shuts his eyes and approaches the glass. The Thermians, who all have similar sleek black hair, follow his path to the door. Only one of the pale quartet is female. Jason slides open the door and grimaces as the sun hits his eyes. They flash exaggerated smiles at him.
Can I help you?
Sir, I understand this is a terrible breach in protocol,
but... You shouldn't come to my house.
Please, I beg you to hear our plea. We are Thermians from the Klaatu Nebula. Our people are being systematically hunted and slaughtered by Rathaceres Fatukri. We are to meet in negotiation, however. Our efforts in this regard have been disastrous. Please, Commander, you are our last hope.
Jason glances off.
We have secured our limousine.
What? This is the thing for the thing that,
The Thermians notice his lack of pants.
Maybe I should get some pants on.
Jason opens the door wider.
Come on in.
They comply and watch as he bends over to search for his pants.
Oh, Commander, I must say that standing here in your presence is the greatest honor we could ever have hoped to achieve in our lifetimes.
I really appreciate that. Would you guys look for another shoe? Looks like this, please.
The Thermians awkwardly glance around the room and up toward the ceiling. In a limo, a chipper Thermian addresses Jason, who wears sunglasses and clutches his head.
Sir, I am Lank, Senior Requisition Officer. Before we travel to the ship, please let me know if you have any requirements. Weapons, documents, personnel.
Coca-Cola, do you have one of those?
The leader points to the door.
Sir, I am Teb.
Lank passes the female a soda.
I would like to explain the history between our people and the Saris Dominion in greater detail.
She gives it to Jason.
In the 5 million years following the great nebula burst, our people were one...
What's your name?
She grins.
Doesn't she talk?
Her translator is broken.
Jason opens the soda.
Okie dokie. You know, guys, I had a late night with a Cremorian Fangor beast, so, I'm gonna just shut my eyes for a bit. Go on. You know, I'm listening to everything you say, okay?
He lies back.
In the 5 million years following the Great Nebula Burst, our people were one people, but then came the Zaktar migration, and then the Milosian shift.
The limo pulls into an alley and parks.
Discontentment spread through the land. Fighting among Treeb, Sex, and Largoths. The foolishness. And it was in this time of dissension that Sarah...
A dog watches it lift into the air. Fade to black. Now, Jason wakes to the smiling female Thermion.
Commander. Commander.
I'm sorry to wake you, sir, but your presence is requested on the command deck.
He starts to push himself up and nods to her with a bleary expression. In a corridor...
Sir, Saris has moved the deadline. We are approaching his ship at the Nye Delta now. He wants an answer to his proposal. Yeah, I understand
you have been... I got most of it in the car. Saris is the bad guy, right?
Oh, yes, sir. He is a very bad man indeed. He has tortured our scientists, put us to work in the gallium arsenide mines, captured our females for his own demented purposes.
Yeah, I got the picture. Do you have pages, or do you just want me to wing this?
I am not sure I understand you.
Commander... Welcome to the Protector 2.
Good to see you.
Would you like to don your uniform?
No, you know what? I'd like to skip that. I got this gig in Van Nuys in about a quarter of an hour. Is that all right?
As you wish.
Sir, it's Saris. He's here.
An imposing green scaly ship flies through space. On board, a reptilian alien approaches his captain.
General, I have just received word the Thermians have appointed a new commander to handle the negotiations.
What?
On the Thermian ship... Jason staggers onto the command deck and addresses the crew.
This is great. You know, usually it's just cardboard walls in a garage.
Sir, we apologize for operating in low power mode, but we are experiencing a reflective flux field this close to the galactic axis.
You know what I could use is a cup holder and a couple of Advil.
We're approaching in 5 ticks, sir. Command to slow?
Set it on screensaver 2.
The pilot looks confused.
Sorry to break the mood here. Slow it down to Mark 2, Lieutenant.
I see fear. That is expected. Mm-hmm.
The reptilian captain appears on the view screen.
They bring a new commander.
It's good.
Here are my looks.
Jason yawns and downs his soda.
If I do not hear what I like, then there will be blood and pain, as you cannot imagine.
He looks unconcerned.
First... I require the Omega 13.
He checks his watch and gestures.
I will require a technician.
Okie dokie. Let's fire blue particle cannons full, red particle cannons full. Gannet magnets, fire them left and right, and let them run. All shoots while you're at it. Once you toss that at him, killer. That should take care of old lobster head, shouldn't it?
Jason throws the soda can to a crewman. Teb wears a horrified grimace. In a corridor, Jason searches for a way out. The Thermian leader approaches.
Amanda, where are you going?
Home.
You mean Earth?
Yeah, Earth. Time to get back to Earth, kids.
But the negotiations you fired on him.
Yeah. Long live, what was your planet called?
Thermia.
Long live Thermia. This way?
But what if Sarah survives?
Oh, I doubt I gave him both barrels.
He has a very powerful ship.
Anyway, if you got any more problems with the guy, just, give me a call. Ow.
Jason trips, and the leader hands him a device.
An interstellar vox.
What? Hey.
Jason flips it open.
How can we thank you, Commander? You have saved our people.
He denies the leader an awkward hug.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you kids have been great. You really have.
The Thermians leave the room, and the doors slide shut.
You. Hello. Hey. Where's my limo?
The room goes dark. Then a light turns on beneath Jason. Standing on a circular platform, he removes his sunglasses and looks around. The walls seem to vanish. A viscous liquid rises up his body. It encapsulates him, and he struggles against the transparent cocoon. A large set of doors opens, revealing the vastness of deep space beyond. Jason gapes. A blazing sun, a moon, and a ringed planet hover near the ship. Our view pulls back from Jason, standing before the starry blackness in his glassy chrysalis. With an open-mouthed gaze, he looks awestruck. The light beneath him erupts and launches him into space. Rockets into a swirling wormhole, and our view fades to black. We emerge from Jason's wide blue eye to him trembling outside his home by the pool. Smoke rises from his quaking body. At an electronic store grand opening, the Galaxy Quest cast speaks to a small crowd.
Take it from us. We've been all over the universe.
But we've never seen space age values like we've seen here.
At Tech Value Electronics Superstore.
All of the actors wear their costumes from the show. Gwen nudges Alexander beside her. He rolls his eyes.
By Grabthar's hammer.
With a depressed expression, he struggles to continue.
What a savings.
Gwen snips a ribbon with giant scissors.
All right. Yeah, let's hear it from the NSCA protector.
In a parking structure, the gangly teen fan walks with his friends. Jason bumps into him, knocking him down. They mistakenly exchange boxes.
You know, evidently we had a little miscommunication regarding Voyage. You didn't show up.
Jason runs off, and the gangly fan, Brandon, looks disappointed.
You did it again.
Jason pushes past fans at an autograph tent.
Do you know what time it is? Why do you even bother to show up at all?
No. Guys, I was there. I was up there. Remember yesterday at the convention? Those people dressed like aliens? They were aliens. They were termites or Dalmatians. I can't really remember because I was kind of hungover. But what they built was extraordinary. It was a huge spaceship. I got to fight this guy named Saris, and I kicked his ass.
The cast eyes him in exasperation and disbelief.
I know what you're thinking, but I can prove it. They gave me this.
He shows the box, and the cast holds up their identical props.
No. But can you talk to people in space on those?
He speaks into his.
Protector, this is the commander. Over.
Oh, for God's sake.
I said it's time to go.
This isn't mine.
The Thermians arrive.
That kid. Where's that kid?
Begging your pardon, Commander. We come with news. Saris lives.
Listen.
He was able upon your departure to make an escape. However, he has contacted us and wishes to negotiate a surrender. We humbly implore you to come negotiate the terms.
Jason wears a smug grin and nods.
They want me back. You want me back. Is this amazing? They want me back, and I want you guys to go with me, please. Don't even think about it. Let's go. Yes!
Alexander storms off.
You are going... Alexander, this is not... I'm not kidding here. This isn't some kind of prank. I'm not kidding, no. Guys, listen. Come on. Gwen, stop him here.
Gwen pauses.
You know me, and I'm a lot of things, but am I crazy?
You know, it's one thing to treat us this way. It's another thing to do it to your fans.
The cast leaves.
She's not a fan. This is a termite.
They get into a van.
You should have just let me hit him.
Boy, I didn't know you could get that loaded.
I think we should have just taken the gig. I mean, who knows the next time he'll ask us.
Fred, he was drunk. You really think he was talking about a job?
They exchange thoughtful looks, then scramble out of the vehicle. In the store's back room, Guy tries to block a woman's path.
But you live with your mother.
Did Jason come through here?
Yeah, he's in there. Hey, guys.
The female Thermian salutes the cast.
We are coming too.
All of you wish to go to the ship?
Yes, we wish to go to the ship. You see, we work together, or not at all.
Wonderful. The commander had me continue transmission in case you changed your mind. Protector, requesting 4 interstellar...
Me too.
Guy grins.
5 pods for immediate departure.
Circles of light appear below the cast's feet.
Guys?
The group becomes anxious.
Guys?
I look forward to meeting you all in person when you arrive at the ship. End transmission.
The Thermian's hologram vanishes.
Oh, my God.
Fred eyes a vending machine.
Anybody got any change?
He turns and looks confused. The cast lands in the transporter room aboard the Thermian ship. As his transparent cocoon collapses, Guy quakes with a fearful expression. Gwen, Alexander, and Tommy also shake. Guy gives a sidelong glance toward the chamber door. His expression grows increasingly terrified at the sounds coming from beyond. The door slides up, and several octopus-like aliens enter with strange devices and tools. The 4 cast members become more uneasy as the tentacled aliens approach. The creatures prod them with their appendages and hold their devices close to the actors' faces. A gun-like tool is wielded before Alexander, and another alien snaps a speculum-looking object at Gwen. A creature pokes a device into Tommy's ear as another holds a whirring contraption near Guy's mouth. Shifting their gazes between the actors, the aliens lower their devices and back away. The creatures' bodies distort, and they transform into their pale, human-like projections. Jason enters.
Our most sincere apologies.
We forgot about our appearance generators.
So you guys came. Who wants the grand tour?
Guy screams.
Anybody else?
Fred transports in with a calm expression.
That was a hell of a thing.
Patting Jason's arm, Fred notices his friend's disturbed looks.
What's wrong with them? I don't know. Come on.
The cast staggers down a corridor.
That's right, guys. Just keep shaking it off. It gets better. Hey, try some gum. That helps.
We are.
The 23rd quadrant of the gamma sector. There's a map in the forward room. I'll show you. Come
Tommy on. Falls.
Welcome, my friends.
This is Mathazar. He's their leader.
Hi, I'm Mathazar. On behalf of all my people, I wish to thank you from the deepest place in our hearts.
Mathazar, this is my crew.
Gwen and Alexander look wary.
Dr. Lazarus.
Mathazar extends his arms and takes Alexander's hand in his.
Lieutenant Madison.
With an open mouth gaze, Gwen watches Mathazar kiss her hand.
Young Laredo, how you've grown.
Mathazar turns and his eyes widen. Fred gives a dazed grin. Mathazar looks to Guy, who wears a terrified expression.
Crewman number Guy.
Guy. You know us?
No. I don't believe there is a man, woman, or child on my planet who does not. A year since we first received transmission of your historical documents, we have studied every facet of your missions and strategies.
You've been watching the show?
Lieutenant, historical documents.
Historical documents from out here?
Yes. The past 100 years, our society had fallen into disarray. Our goals, our values had become scattered, but since the transmission, we have modeled every aspect of our society from your example, and it has saved us. Your courage and teamwork and friendship through adversity.
Jason wears a smug grin.
In fact, all you see around you has been taken from the lessons garnered from the historical documents.
Is this a spaceship?
No. This is a starport for the ship. Would you guys like to see the ship?
Fred nods. Now a metal door slides open and the cast enters a cylindrical room. Fred approaches a window and gazes out. Alexander turns quickly as the door slides shut behind them. The room starts moving downward rapidly. The actors gape as a large spaceport comes into view just beyond the window.
Oh, my God.
They gaze out at the Protector, the Thermian replica of the ship from the show.
It's real.
Jason smirks at Alexander's dumbfounded expression. In a metal room on the ship, a beam of light sweeps over a lumpy spinning boulder floating at its center.
The generator room. The beryllium sphere, of course. And as we continue, the medical quarters are to the left. We went through some trouble duplicating your cellular regeneration.
Jason, what have you got us into?
What the hell is going on?
What are we doing here?
Wow, the floors are so clean.
We're just here to negotiate this guy Saris' surrender. It's no big deal.
And the organ fabrication chamber is coming along nicely.
It's a big deal. Are you crazy? We have to get out of here.
Come on, guys.
Jason, we are actors, not astronauts.
You guys want to go home? Say the word, we'll go home. Pay our bills, feed our fish, fall asleep in front of the TV, and miss out on all of this. Come on, you guys want to do that, anybody? Gwen, come on, think about it. Look at where we are. We're in space. Alexander, this is the role of a lifetime. You guys want to leave?
We have enjoyed preparing many of your esoteric dishes. Your Monte Cristo sandwich is a kind of...
The tall female Thermian grins at Fred.
The main barracks.
Rows of Thermians salute as Jason steps into the barracks doorway. He smiles at his friends, then straightens his uniform jacket and enters. Guy grins. Jason strides down the center aisle and eyes the Thermian crew.
At ease.
The Thermians straighten and stand with their hands clasped behind their backs.
It's like throwing gasoline on a flame.
Alexander notices Guy beaming at him and scowls.
What?
I'm just jazzed about being on the show, man.
Alexander rolls his eyes. On the command deck, the Thermian crew salutes the cast as they enter.
If you would all take your positions.
Or what?
Guys?
Jason gives his friends a pointed look. As he takes his seat at the pilot station, Tommy regards a touchscreen console.
Look, this thingy. I remember I had it all worked out.
In the captain's chair, a glowing panel on the armrest rises beneath Jason's outstretched palm.
Commander, some of the crew has requested to be present at this historic event.
Jason turns.
Sure, bring him in.
A group of Thermians stiffly shovels onto the command deck. They form two lines on either side of the doorway. They salute the cast. Tommy looks to Guy standing beside him at his station.
No pressure, huh? I'm glad I ain't the commander.
Jason leans forward.
Laredo, take us out.
Tommy turns to him with a furrowed brow.
Excuse me?
Jason flashes Mathazar a nervous grin.
They designed those controls after watching you. Pick her out.
Right. Okay. Right.
Alexander and Gwen anxiously watch Tommy wring his hands.
Take her out.
He taps the start engines button on his console. Tommy flinches and looks around. The engines light up, and Alexander and Gwen grip their stations for support. Jason flashes a smile toward Mathazar, then swallows hard and faces the view screen. Tommy grips control joysticks on either side of his chair. He twists one of the handles. Pushing the other control joystick forward, he shifts his gaze upward. A view through a starport window shows the Protector moving away. Tommy smirks and nods to himself, then turns to Jason, who nods his approval. Thermians watching from the starport salute the vessel as it passes. Tommy's proud smirk fades as he notices the ship drifting toward the wall of the starport. His jaw dropping and his eyes widening, he glances down at the console. Jason leans to the side and scratches his nose anxiously. Gwen tilts her head in the opposite direction of the ship's course.
Okay, get a move to the right. More to the right.
Would you sit your parallel. Ass down? Sit, move. You want to drive this thing?
The ship scrapes against the starport wall. Jason wears a nervous grin. He furrows his brow. Exhaling deeply, Tommy looks to Alexander, who grimaces. Bits of debris come off the ship and starport. Gwen shuts her eyes tight. Alexander and Jason follow suit. The Protector reaches the edge of the starport and drifts into open space. Tommy and Alexander look relieved. As the Thermian crew applauds, Gwen buries her face in her hands and Guy pats Tommy. Jason glances back and mouths, "Yeah." He lets out a large breath. An exterior view shows the ship flying away from the starport. In the dining hall, Tab leans toward Jason across from him.
How are you enjoying your steak, Commander?
I'm really enjoying it. This is like corn-fed Iowa beef.
Yes. We programmed the food synthesizer for each of you based on the regional menu of your birthplace.
Alexander lifts a wriggling crustacean from his bowl.
Are you enjoying your Ketmop blood ticks, Dr. Lazarus?
Just like Mother used to make.
The creature leaps back into the bowl, and he grimaces. Tommy watches Guy choke on a noodle.
So, tell me, Mathazar, this Saris person that we're flying to meet, what does he want exactly?
He heard about the device, the Omega 13.
What is it? What does it do?
We don't know.
We were hoping you could enlighten us.
Gwen flashes a nervous smile. She looks to Jason, who shakes his head and swallows a bite of food.
Oh, the Omega 13 device.
He wipes his mouth.
We found that on an alien planet. We don't know what it does either.
Why don't you just turn it on and see what it does?
It has at its heart a reactor capable of unthinkable energy. If we were mistaken in our construction, the device would act as a molecular explosive, causing a chain reaction that would obliterate all matter in the universe.
Has Saris ever seen any of the historical records?
No, thank God he has not.
Oh. So, how does he know about the Omega 13 device?
Teb gives a sidelong glance toward Mathazar, who looks ashamed.
Our former commander was not strong.
Former commander?
I am sorry, you deserve to be shown.
The tape was smuggled off of Saris's ship. Originally one of our own tried to lead.
Is that all? After 3 days of this, you still require incentive?
A video shows Saris torturing a Thermian.
I have told you all I know. If you have any mercy within you, please, let me die.
When I grow weary of the noises you make, you shall die!
Wearing an emotional expression, Mathisar watches the footage. Jason flinches. His friends exchange frightened glances. Mathisar turns to them with a guilty look. Now Jason chases after his fellow actors.
Wait a minute, guys, come on, hold on a minute. Just can't leave. Give me some time to think. Think!
He wants to think.
No, Jason, that's a wrap. There's nothing to think about.
I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm just crewman number 6. I'm expendable. I'm the guy in the episode who dies to prove the situation is serious. I gotta get out of here.
Commander.
We gotta prepare the pods for my crew's departure.
Begging your commander's pardon, sir, we can't launch pods at the moment. Saris will surely detonate any objects leaving the ship.
Saris?
Yes, sir, he's here now. Your presence is required on the command deck.
What?
Mathisar walks away. Jason hesitates to follow him. Now the cast steps onto the command deck.
There's nobody here.
While my people are talented scientists, our attempt to operate our own technologies under tactical simulation have been disastrous. I have raised Saris on Zeta frequency.
Mathisar, my...
We meet again, Commander.
Hello, Saris. How you doing?
Better than my lieutenant.
Saris raises a severed head.
He failed to activate the ship's neutron armor as quickly as I'd hoped on our last encounter.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to say I'm real sorry about what happened before. The whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
Deliver the device to me, or I will destroy your ship.
Saris clenches his robotic fist.
We'd like to do that, but frankly, Saris, sir, we don't know what it is or even where it is.
You have 10 seconds.
Okay. Gosh darn it, I give up. It's yours, you can have it. You have to give me a minute to put it in a box for you. Okay?
Jason swipes his own throat and Gwen mimics him.
Don't panic. I've dealt with this guy before. He's as stupid as he is ugly. No. Come here.
Jason.
Not now, Gwen.
No.
He forces Guy into a seat.
Send everything we can at him, all right?
Jason.
Not now, Gwen. Press these red buttons and send everything we have towards him, okay?
Gwen looks toward the view screen as Jason returns to the captain's chair.
Put me back on with him.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, you are back.
Perhaps I'm not as stupid as I am ugly. Commander.
Jason looks to Gwen and slashes at his own throat.
Gave you the kill gesture.
Yeah, no, you gave me the word dead signal. I was agreeing with you, like I know where the hold button is.
Hey, guys. There's a red thingy moving toward the green thingy.
What?
Red thingy moving toward the green thingy.
Guy points to a radar screen.
I think we're the green thingy.
A little present for you, Commander.
We gotta get out of here. Move the ship. Turn it. Move. Let's go.
A missile hits the ship, knocking the actors to the floor. Jason looks up from the floor with a furrowed brow. More missiles launch from Saris's ship.
Tommy,
let's
go! Get us
Jason,
out of here! Let's go! Go! Go!
Tommy climbs into his chair. He pilots the protector away from the imposing vessel. Mathisar paces anxiously.
They're turning! They're coming!
Saris works his jaw and glances off, then eyes the protector on his view screen.
Thrust ahead! Full! Fire at will.
Jason braces himself as the missiles impact.
Go faster, Tommy!
I'm going as fast as I can, Jason!
She's behind us! Press turbo. I've always said press the turbo, right?
Oh, it's right here!
Well, press it and hold it down!
Tommy taps his console, and an alert reads, turbo engaged. Everyone's image seems to blur.
The enemy is matching velocity.
Enemy is matching velocity!
We're at it the fast time!
I'm doing it. I'm repeating the darn computer.
Hi, guys. Listen, they're telling me the generators won't take it. The ship is breaking apart and all that. Just FYI,
We've got to stop!
We're stopping, we die. Tommy, just hold that thing down.
Yeah, hold the turbo down. It's for quick boosts.
Oh, like you know.
The engines sputter out and smoke.
I remember that sound. That's a bad sound.
Wait. We might be able to lose him in this cloud here.
Oh, I don't think that's a cloud.
Mathazar, what is it?
This is the Tothian minefield left standing from the Great War of 12185.
The Protector speeds into the field of uniformly spaced prism-shaped mines. Several of them activate.
Oh, God!
Ah! Tommy grips the controls as he navigates the vessel. Guy crawls under a workstation as more mines pummel the Protector.
Could you possibly try not to hit every single one?
Sorry, man, they're drifting towards us! I think they're magnetic!
On the enemy ship, crab-like legs atop Saris's head twitch as he watches the view screen.
Continue forward, sir.
Patience, Lieutenant.
He steps forward.
Patience.
The enemy ship hovers just outside the minefield. More explosives impact with the Protector. The bombs rock the vessel. Tommy frantically rubs his hands over his face. Smoking panels erupt from their consoles. Sparks fly from malfunctioning systems, and the cast gets thrown to the floor. With smoke trailing from its non-operational engines, the Protector drifts sluggishly through space. Jason helps Gwen to her feet.
You okay? All right. Everybody all right? Where's Tommy? Ah! Tommy!
Oh, man!
You all right?
No, I'm all right!
Mathazar helps Tommy up.
I'll take him to medical quarters.
Thanks, Mathazar.
Tommy kicks his legs like a child as Mathazar scoops him into his arms and carries him away. Gwen turns.
Alex, where are you going?
To see if there's a pub.
Alexander storms out. In a strategy room, the computer displays extensive damage to the ship. Jason stretches and looks frustrated.
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage. Aft vector guards, 96% damage. Structural breaches in quadrants 32, 34, 40,
What about the engines?
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage.
Computer, what about the engines? Why don't we have power?
The beryllium sphere has fractured under stress.
It's fractured.
Jason glares.
Can it be repaired?
Computer, can it be repaired?
Damage to beryllium sphere. Irreparable. New source of beryllium must be secured.
We need another one.
You broke the ship. You broke the bloody ship!
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Negative. No reserve beryllium sphere exists on board.
No, we have no extra beryllium sphere on board.
You know, that is really getting annoying.
Look, I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Tommy wears a metallic brace on his arm. Mathazar and other Thermians enter. They salute the cast and bow.
1,000 apologies. We have failed you.
How have you failed us?
We have seen you victorious in much more desperate situations. The fault must lie with us, with the ship.
No, Mathazar, it is not your fault, and it's not the ship's fault. It's my fault. We this group,
We are not the people you think we are.
I don't understand.
Gwen's gaze roves from Jason to Alexander, who stands and approaches the Thermians.
Didn't you make any TV shows on your planet? Any theater, films?
The historical documents of your culture. Yes. In fact, we have begun to document our history from your example.
No, not historical documents. They're not all historical documents. I mean, surely you don't think that Gilligan's Island is a...
The Thermians bow their heads.
Those poor people.
Jason's smile fades.
Oh, brother.
Alexander rolls his eyes.
We're screwed.
Gwen searches for words.
Is there no one on your planet who... behaves in a way that's contrary to reality.
Mathazar grins.
You are speaking of
deception,
lies.
We have only recently become aware of this concept in our dealings with Ceres. Often Ceres will say one thing and do another, promise us mercy but deliver destruction. It is a concept we are beginning to learn at some great cost. But if you are saying that any of you could have traits in common with Ceres...
With wide-mouthed expressions, Mathazar and the other Thermians laugh awkwardly. Fred appears on a video screen.
Hey, Commander. Listen, we found some beryllium on a nearby planet. And we might be able to get there if we reconfigure the solar matrix in parallel for endothermic propulsion. What do you think?
Guy and the Thermians give Jason an expectant look. He smiles.
We'll do that.
Right. That's right again. Let's come on, group hug.
Fred hugs Lank and other Thermians. An exterior view shows the Protector soaring toward a desert planet. In a corridor, a slender Thermian walks with Alexander.
Dr. Lazarus, I hope I am not breaching protocol, but I am so very humbled to stand in your presence. I have studied your missions extensively. Though I am Thermian, I have lived my life by your philosophy, by the code of the Maktar.
Oh, good. That's very nice.
By Grabthar's hammer, Dr. Lazarus.
Don't do that. I'm not kidding.
I'm sorry, sir. I was only...
Just don't.
The slender Thermian looks confused.
Yes, sir.
In a hangar bay, doors to space slide open. A teardrop-shaped shuttle lies before them. Jason and his friends gape.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Jason and Guy return the Thermian salute. Gwen gives Jason a pointed look, and he exchanges one with Alexander, then Fred.
Dr. Lazarus, here is your surface mapper. I have programmed it to the coordinates of a beryllium sphere of sufficient density.
Alexander takes the device.
Good luck on your mission, sir.
He regards the slender Thermian with hesitation.
Thanks.
The shuttle launches from the Protector. It reaches the desert planet's atmosphere. Tommy grimaces behind the controls.
Doing good, Tommy.
Unfazed by the turbulence, Fred calmly eats a snack. Guy turns to Alexander beside him.
I changed my mind. I want to go back.
After the fuss you made about getting left behind.
Yeah, but that's when I thought I was the crewman that stays on the ship and something is up there and it kills me. But now I'm thinking I'm the guy who gets killed by some monster 5 minutes after we land on the planet.
You're not going to die on the planet, Guy.
I'm not? What's my last name?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. Do you know why? Because my character isn't important enough for a last name. Because I'm gonna die 5 minutes in.
Guy, you have a last name.
Do I? Do I?
Yes.
For all you know, I'm just crewman number 6. Baby.
Guy Baby. Sobs and presses Gwen's hand to his forehead.
Are we there yet?
The shuttle barrels toward the planet's rocky, arid surface. Fred continues eating his cheese and crackers with a gleeful expression. Landing gear emerges from the pod as it levels off and descends. Fred opens the rear hatch doors.
Hey, don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
Inhaling deeply, Guy shuts his lips tight and turns away from the doors. Fred sniffs and takes a few quick breaths.
Seems okay.
Gwen smooths her hair in uniform as the others unbuckle themselves. Jason steps past her. He follows Fred, who yawns, as they step off the shuttle. Jason gazes up at wispy clouds hanging in the bright blue sky. Gwen shakes her head.
Here we go.
Guy timidly stands in the doorway. Alexander takes the lead.
Which way, Alexander?
He opens the surface mapper. He turns and points ahead of himself.
This way.
Tommy, Fred, and Gwen follow him.
Wait, no.
He flips the device around, then rotates, and walks back in the direction he came from.
That way.
You were holding it upside down.
Shut up.
You know, with all that makeup and stuff, I actually thought you were smart for a second.
You think you could do better, Laredo?
Right with that Laredo stuff.
Oh, we're screwed. We're so screwed.
Come on, come on, come on. If we want to finish this mission, we have to use some self-control.
Self-control? That's funny coming from a guy who slept with every Tarakian slave girl and moon princess on the show.
Did it ever occur to you, had you been more supportive, you might have been able...
They pause atop a rock formation.
Wow. Must be some sort of mining facility.
Where are the miners?
Something bad happened here.
Will you relax?
Peering through binoculars, Jason spots dirt-covered beryllium spheres.
There they are. Beryllium spheres. Let's go.
He takes the lead, and the others follow him down toward the mining facility. A large pipe with jagged edges sticks out of a rock face. Scaffolding stretches across the alien structure. Gwen casts wary glances around the terrain as she sticks close to Jason. Spotting a small alien creature emerging from a jagged-edged pipe, she grabs Jason's arm and stops walking. More aliens emerge, and the actors duck behind a tall rock formation.
Look at that. Would you look at that?
The aliens drink from a trough.
They look like little children.
One of them falls in.
Could they be the miners?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're like 3 years old.
The actors turn to look at Fred.
Miners, not miners.
You lost me.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
They are so cute.
Sure, they're cute now. In a second, they're going to get mean, and they're going to get ugly somehow, and there's going to be a million more of them.
Look. There's a little hurt one.
One of the bald, naked aliens with gray skin drags its webbed foot behind it. It joins the other miners by the trough, and Gwen starts to step out.
Hi. Hi, there's a guy.
Guy pulls her back.
Did you guys ever watch the show?
The group watches the aliens, and she slaps his arm.
See? They're gonna help the little hurt one.
A miner whispers to its cohort, who bares its sharp teeth. They all pounce on the injured alien as it drinks.
I'm just sick of being right.
The actors flee.
Let's get out of here before one of those things kills Guy.
Wait a minute. We're not going anywhere without a beryllium sphere. We need a plan. Fred, I need a diversion to clear the compound of those things. Then Alex and Gwen and I will go get a sphere. Tommy, get up on that ridge. If you see him come back, give me a signal, all right?
Why does this sound so familiar?
Assault on Voltrex 3, episode 81.
We're doing episode 81.
Whatever, the one with the hologram, the wall of fire.
Well, how the hell is Fred supposed to project a hologram?
Are we doing episode 81 or
is
not?
It's just a rough plan, Guy. What difference does it make if it's episode 81 or not?
Because I died in episode 81!
Jason covers Guy's mouth.
Don't you, Chris.
Why are you listening to this fellow? May I remind you, he's wearing a costume, not a uniform. He's no more equipped to lead us than this fellow. No offense.
Gwen peers around the rock formation.
Look, they're gone.
Where'd they go? Back inside?
I don't know.
Nobody was watching.
She glares.
All right, listen up. Here's the plan. Gwen, Fred, Alex, and I will go down and get a sphere. Fleegman, you set up a perimeter.
Gwen catches Guy ogling her cleavage.
You give us a signal, all right?
What kind of a signal?
Any kind of signal.
Okay, I'll do my hands like
Tommy
this.
Tommy cups his hands around his mouth.
What are you, an infant? Look, we have these.
Jason shoves a box in his face, and Tommy looks embarrassed.
Sorry. All right, let's go.
Jason dives and rolls as he leads the way. The group follows him at a casual walk.
Does the rolling help?
Uh-huh. It helps. Where's your gun? It helps.
Not finding it in his holster, he glances around at the ground. Later, Tommy peers through binoculars toward the mining facility. Guy stands beside him.
Oh.
The others roll a beryllium sphere.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Oh, shut up.
Jason! The cabin is down, son of Jason! Run!
Tommy and Guy run toward them as the miners emerge from their hiding spots.
They're everywhere! Jason!
They're everywhere!
They're everywhere!
Come on, let's go.
The actors roll the sphere away.
Don't look back! Not look back!
Gwen looks back and spots the aliens chasing them. The cast hurries toward the shuttle. Tommy rushes into the pilot seat.
Go, come on! Let's go, Tommy!
I got it, but it's going to take a few seconds!
As the others board, Jason lingers outside.
Go ahead!
There's no time. Get in! Get in!
You've got to be the hero, haven't you? Heaven forbid anybody else gets the spotlight. Oh, no. Jason Nesbitt.
Jason punches Alexander.
Jason!
The aliens race toward them.
Hurry!
I'm on it!
Tommy, go! Go, I'm in!
No!
Jason falls out of the shuttle before the doors close.
Johnny, stop the pilot! Stop it!
But I can't stop it! It's on autopilot!
Go! Leave him!
No!
As the pod lifts off the ground, many aliens swarm onto it. Others lift Jason over their heads. Miners fall off the shuttle, and it flies off.
All right. Of course, it's always about you, isn't it?
Aliens surround Jason. Subtitles appear. That's strange. It looks like a child. What should we do? Hit it with a rock. And we'll eat it. Cut to black. Now a hairy, pig-like alien sniffs Jason's unconscious body. Many mushroom-like eyes twitch atop his head. It licks him, and Jason sits up with a start. Jason clutches his head and spots the miners chanting at the top of the quarry walls as they peer down at him.
Jason?
On the ship.
Jason, can you hear me?
Yeah, Gwen, you got me.
Thank God. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've got Grignac staring me in the face right now.
But you know what? I think I can take it.
The others watch Jason on a monitor.
Jason, we're going to use the digital conveyor to get you out of there.
The digital conveyor?
Yeah.
You mean I'm going to get diced into cubes and sit up there in a million pieces?
Right.
Well, you know what? I think I'll take my chance with Grignac.
We're getting you out right now. It's perfectly safe, isn't it, Tim?
It has never been successfully tested.
What did he say?
Hold, please.
Theoretically, the mechanism is fully operational. However, it was built to accommodate your anatomy, not ours. But now that Tech Sergeant Chen is here, he can operate it. It was designed watching his motions from the historical documents.
Tep grins at Fred.
I can supervise.
Jason, we're gonna test it.
On what?
How about that pig lizard?
Hey, I'm not all right with the pig lizard.
Please, Fred, and hurry.
Fred grabs the controls. Ted stifles his glee.
I'm sorry. It's very exciting to watch the master at the controls. The operation of the conveyor is much more art than science.
Stand back, Jason.
Fred sweats as he operates the digital conveyor. Jason leaps over the pig-like alien. It turns to face him as he crawls away on his backside. Fred locks onto the pig-like alien and a beam of electricity engulfs it. The beast's inside-out mask lands in the transporter room. Greenish liquid spurts out of it.
What? What was that?
Nothing.
I heard some squealing or something.
Oh, no, everything's fine.
But the animal is inside out.
I heard that.
It turned inside out?
The creature explodes and splatters on Teb. The others duck.
And it exploded.
Did I just hear that animal turned inside out and then it exploded?
Hello?
Rising, Gwen flips her hair out of her face.
Hold, please.
Hey, wait a minute, guys.
If the pig lizard is gone, why are they still yelling Grignac?
Teb, hit the translation circuit.
Teb complies. The miners stiffen, then scatter.
Jason. I don't think the pig lizard was Grignac.
What the hell are you talking about?
Behind Jason, boulders tumble down from the quarry wall. They form a massive rock creature. He lowers his box, turns, and notices the towering beast.
Oh, darn.
Slowly backing away, he flees. The Grignac stomps after him. On the ship, the group watches the monitor.
Digitize me!
Come on, guys, digitize me!
Come on,
they based it on your hand movements.
Am I the only one who saw that thing inside out with the eye going? I'm not the guy. I'm not a Tech Sergeant Chen. I'm Fred Kwan. Kwan's not even my real name. I mean,
Fred's no good, Jason. You're just gonna have to kill it.
Kill it? Well, I'm open to any suggestion.
Open the eyes like in episode 22!
It doesn't have any eyes, Tommy!
Don't put it mouth to the throat! It's vulnerable spot!
It's a rock! It doesn't have any vulnerable spots!
I know! You construct a weapon. Look around you. Can you form some sort of rudimentary lathe?
A lathe! Get off the line, guy! Alexander, you're my advisor. Advise me!
Well, you're just gonna have to figure out what it wants. What is its motivation?
It's a damn rock monster! It doesn't have motivation!
See, that's your problem, Jason. You were never serious about the craft.
The Grignac lifts Jason by the legs.
Frank, can you hear me? Fred, are you there?
Kinda.
You can do it, Fred. It's up to you.
Oh, no. Jason, I'll just mess it up.
You did it before you saw the show. Do it now.
That was the show. I'm not that guy.
Fred, you never forgot a line. You never missed a mark.
It flings him to the ground.
It's not me anymore, man.
Shirtless, Jason rises to his feet.
What is you, Fred? You just stop trying.
The Grignac turns toward him.
You can do this, Fred. I know in my heart you're going to save my life.
I am?
No doubt about it, Fred.
The female Thermian enters the room and shares a smile with Fred.
Fred, can you hear me?
He zips up his uniform and turns to the controls.
Fred, you don't want to die down here. Digitize me, Fred!
Jason shuts his eyes and holds up his hands as the Grignac lands atop him. He appears in the transporter room.
Tech Sergeant Chen.
Yeah!
Gwen hugs him. Fred looks to the female Thermian and they exchange a smile.
So you managed to get your shirt off.
Jason shakes Alexander's hand. Fred approaches him.
I did it. Welcome back, Fred.
All right. Did we get the Brillium Sphere installed?
Yes, we are back to full power.
Great. Engines and pods?
Fully operational.
Perfect. We'll crank this sucker up. You can drop us off, and you guys can be back in your home planet before supper.
Oh, no, sir. We have no reason to go back.
Sure you do. Family, friends, come on.
We are all that is left.
Jason, Gwen, and Alexander share a guilty look. With a somber gaze, Jason shakes his head at Teb.
I didn't know that.
Sir, I have raised the command deck.
Now wearing a new shirt, he glances over his shoulder at Tommy.
Mathazar, meet us up on the command deck. Mathazar. Mathazar! Quelic! Teb, why can't we reach them?
The doors slide open as armed thugs in heavy armor step inside. Saris follows and regards the actors and Thermians. He cocks his green head and sneers. Guy faints. His mouth bleeding, Jason gets shoved into a room with the others at his heels. Mathazar lies injured and strapped to a table.
Emma, thank God you're alive. Now you will face justice, Saris.
At every turn, you demonstrate the necessity for your extermination.
Leave him alone.
Jason wipes blood from his mouth and stands.
You wish to save the life of this man?
Yeah. Yes.
As Saris approaches, his men restrain Jason.
Then tell me, what does it do, this Omega 13?
I don't know what it does.
Wearing a spiked metal patch over one eye, Saris steps away.
I said I don't know.
He tortures Mathazar, whose humanoid form flickers.
Is it a bomb?
I don't know.
A booby trap?
I don't know.
Kill me!
I don't know.
Saris grabs Jason's throat.
Do you think I'm a fool? That the commander does not know every bolt, every weld in his ship?
Bone-like wings expand on Saris's back.
Prepare a tear harness for the female.
He shoves Jason back.
No!
Gwen, no!
A guard punches Jason in the stomach.
No!
I'm not the commander.
What did you say?
I said I'm not the commander. Leave them alone. There's no reason to hurt them. They don't know anything.
Explain.
Gwen.
Gwen shakes off guards.
Show them the historical documents.
She folds her arms.
Computer. Show the historical documents of the Galaxy Quest missions.
Saris steps away from Jason and cocks his head to the side. A view screen shows a title streaked across an image of a galaxy, Galaxy Quest. As the old TV show plays, he glances over at Mathazar, who watches with an enamored smile. An actor credit appears over footage of Jason as Commander Taggart. The actors look embarrassed.
Wonderful.
Saris turns to them and steps closer.
You have all done far greater damage than I ever could have. Bravo! Bravo. This is a moment I will treasure. Explain to him who you all really are.
He grabs Jason's neck.
Tell him!
Saris leads him over to Mathazar.
Explain!
Jason grimaces, then locks eyes with Mathazar, who smiles reverently.
Mathazar, there's no such person as Captain Taggart. My name is Jason Nesmith. I am an actor.
Mathazar's grin fades.
We're all actors.
He doesn't understand. Explain as you would a child.
With a guilty look, Jason leans closer.
We pretended.
Mathazar blinks in confusion. Jason's expression grows more apologetic.
We lied.
Oh.
Yes. You understand that, don't you, Mathazar?
Mathazar, I'm not a commander. There's no National Space Exploration Administration. We don't have a ship.
But there it is.
Mathazar indicates an image of the Protector from the TV show.
That ship is that big.
Inside, I've seen many rooms.
You've seen plywood sets that look like the inside. Our beryllium sphere is wire with plaster around it. And our digital conveyor is a...
Jason glances at Fred, who drops his gaze.
It's Christmas tree lights. It's a decoration. It's all fake.
Jason struggles to meet Mathazar's eyes.
Just like me.
Gwen watches him solemnly. Heartbroken, Mathazar looks at Jason.
It's difficult to explain. On our planet, we,
Jason flashes a faint smile.
We pretend to entertain, and,
Mathazar turns away.
Mathazar, I am so sorry. God, I am so sorry.
So now you know. Lieutenant Lathe, hardwire the reactor core to overload. I would like to blow this troublesome vehicle to dust.
Saris, what about my people?
Yes, far too simple a death for them, isn't it? Lathe, open an oxygen seal on level C. Let the air in a bit for our friends.
Son of...
Jason lunges for Saris and gets zapped. Goons hold Gwen back.
Release them into space.
In a corridor.
Core overload. Emergency shutdown. Overridden. Core implosion estimated in 9 minutes.
Saris's goons lead the actors into the loading bay and push them about roughly.
Hey!
Core implosion estimated in 9 minutes.
Where's the happy ending, Jason? Never give up. Never surrender.
Alexander wears a sardonic expression. Jason notices one of Saris's goons pressing buttons on a wall panel.
It's about time you just backed off, you fin-headed monstrosity.
Jason?
You what?
You're starting to act like you did in episode 17. You scene-stealing hack.
Realization washes over Alexander.
Oh, right. Well, how does it feel, Jason? Was it worth it? You murdered us all!
Shut up.
Hundreds to die just because of you.
I told you to shut up.
Both of you, get in there!
Hundreds to die just because you want to play a being commander, you raving lunatic!
And I'll see you in hell, won't I?
An airlock door opens, and a goon shoves the tussling men inside. Jason punches Alexander, who indicates a nearby tool. Jason grabs it and hits a goon with it.
Look out, Jason!
Alexander tackles a foe.
The gun! The gun!
Alexander leaps for the gun on the floor as the others shove the enemy aliens into the airlock. The interior door slides shut, and the actors watch Saris's men get sucked out. Fred lowers his hand from the airlock panel.
Sorry, the door's a little sticky. Did you see that? I'll get one of my boys up here with a can of WD-40.
Alexander grins and grips Fred's head.
Used to pull your punches.
It was scene-stealing hack.
Thank you.
Raving egomaniac.
I don't know where I got that from.
Guys, look.
A screen shows Thermians choking as the air gets sucked out of the barracks.
They're suffocating.
The Thermian crew collapses into heaps on the floor. With a thoughtful expression, Jason turns to his friends.
Core overload. explosion estimated in 8 minutes.
They follow him away on the command deck.
General, your transport is ready for departure.
Mathazar lies unconscious as Saris and his goons leave. In the corridor...
Core overload. Emergency shutdown. Overridden.
Jason and his friends wait for the enemy aliens to pass, then come out of hiding. He gives Gwen a pointed look.
Computer, shut down the core.
Unable. Memory checksum invalid. Core systems hardware damaged.
All right, listen up. This is what we gotta do. Gwen, you and I, we're gonna get to the core and shut it down manually. Fred, take Guy and Laliar. You find that valve, shut it off before those thermals run out of air. Alexander, get to the barracks, see if you can't wedge the door up in case they can't do that.
Okay.
Wait, Jason, what about me? What do I do? You gotta practice driving. Let's go.
Tommy looks disappointed.
Practice drive.
They split up.
So we get to shut down a neutron reactor.
That's right.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Jason, but I don't know how to shut down a neutron reactor, and unless you took a learning annex course I don't know about, I'm pretty sure you don't know how to shut down the neutron reactor either.
No, I don't. But I know someone who does.
Jason lifts his box. On Earth, a short-haired woman enters the gangly teen's room.
Brendan, honey. Garbage.
Oh, mother, I'm quite busy.
Come on, Brandon. Don't make me ask you again.
Now, just 10 more minutes, okay, Ma? I promise.
Brandon builds a model of the Protector. His mother leaves with a basket of laundry. A magnifying glass sits between him and the model. Glancing around for the source of a noise, he opens and shuts his desk drawer.
Hello? Anybody there?
He gapes and scans the room.
Hello?
He shifts uneasily. On the ship...
Hello? Got him. Listen to me. This is Jason Nesmith. I play Commander Peter Quincy Taggart of NSEA Protector. We accidentally traded boxes the other day when we bumped into each other.
Oh, Commander, I see.
Brandon uses his box.
Okay.
What's your name, son?
Brandon?
Brandon, I remember you from the convention, right? You asked all those little technical questions about the ship, and I was a little short with you.
Yes, I know, Commander, and I actually wanted to tell you that I thought a lot about what you said.
It's okay, now listen.
But I want you to know that I'm not a complete brain case, okay? I understand completely that it's just a TV show.
Hold on.
I know there's no brain.
Wait a minute. Stop for a second. Stop. Wait.
No ship.
It's all real.
Oh my God, I knew it!
The crew and I are in a lot of trouble and we need your help.
Elsewhere, Alexander presses his back against a wall and moves forward. He ducks into an alcove as some of Saris's men jog down the corridor. A noise startles him, and he spots a thermium in its natural form on the ceiling.
Sir, it's you! Thank Ibthar!
Alexander relaxes.
Quillic? What are you doing up there?
Quillic drops and transforms.
I avoided capture by using your Mokhtar stealth haze.
Alexander nods.
Where is everyone?
Come with me. I'll explain on the way.
Glimpses show Brandon as Jason and Gwen run down corridors.
All right, we're level C hallway 5. Now what?
Go to weapons storage. Your second left through the passage. Now that leads to a system of utility corridors through the bowels of the ship.
Open!
You know what? I'm gonna get Kyle. He knows the utility tunnel system better than anybody alive.
Elsewhere, Guy fires a gun down a corridor.
38, 39, 40!
He follows Fred and Laliar to a door.
All right, all we have to do is turn off the valve to the barracks.
They peer through a window at enemy aliens in a security room. In Brandon's room, his tall friend appears in a video chat.
Hi, Brandon.
No time for pleasantries, Kyle. We have a level 5 emergency. You still got the utility systems walked through, right?
Yeah, I've got sectors 1 through 28. I think Hollister has the upper levels.
Great, we'll get everybody online.
Now, scenes from Galaxy Quest display Tommy's childhood character piloting the Protector. Adult Tommy watches and mimics his character.
Pedal to the metal, Commander.
To the metal, Commander.
On the enemy ship, Lathe approaches Saris.
General, I have just received word that the commander of the Protector and his command crew have escaped custody.
What?
A dead goon splats against the window and then floats away.
Find them!
But sir, my men! The core implosion is not reversible.
Find them!
On the Protector.
All right, Brandon, I see 5 ducks in this room. Which way do we go?
Enter the passage second to your left and just continue straight for 50 meters.
Ducks. Why is it always ducks?
There will be a slight drop.
Jason and Gwen plummet straight down an access shaft. They land just at the edge of a duct leading to a spinning fan.
Thanks for the heads up, Brandon. You okay?
In another corridor, Alexander and Quellic come to the barracks. They spot Thermians dying inside.
They're dying.
With Jason.
Wait a minute, we gotta go across this thing?
Yes. Don't look down.
Commander, what I'd give to see what you're seeing.
Talking about?
You're deep in the underbelly of the Omega 13. Oh, it must be spectacular.
Well, it doesn't look like much to me. It's just these few walls and this dumb spinning fan that we have in every single...
Jason points, and Gwen follows his gaze upward. Tendrils of interconnected spheres dangle from a web overhead. Electricity travels up two of the blue tendrils to a nest contained within the web, and it expands.
Brandon, what does the Omega 13 device do?
Many happen to believe that it is a matter collapser. Bomb capable of destroying pretty much everything in about 13 seconds. But myself and others are convinced that what it is a matter rearranger, affecting a 13-second time jump to the past.
Well, why 13 seconds? That's really not enough time to do anything of any importance.
Be time to redeem a single mistake.
What?
Jason returns fire as he and Gwen flee an enemy. Outside the security room...
We gotta turn off that valve. Their oxygen's almost gone.
Listen, I'll go in. I'll create a distraction. I got this. I'm okay. I may be able to hold them back long enough for the aliens to escape.
It's suicide.
I'm just a glorified extra, Fred. I'm a dead man anyway. If I'm gonna die, I'd rather go out a hero than a coward.
Guy, maybe you're the plucky comic relief. You ever think about that?
Plucky?
Oh, besides. I just had this really interesting idea.
Are you stoned?
Now a screen shows an oxygen alert.
So I got it up. Give them some time.
Sir, perhaps together. The Mokhtar chant of strength. Larak, Turath.
Alexander rolls his eyes.
Larak, Turath. Larak, Turath. Larak.
He and Quellic strain to open the barracks door. Pressurized air emits from the door as it briefly gives way. Quellic falls back, then rushes to peer through the door's window with Alexander. With Jason and Gwen.
All right, Brandon, we're across. Now what?
You want to take a left and then just straight on through the chompers.
The chompers?
Rounding a corner, they come to a hallway containing a series of pounding metal crushers.
Well, screw that!
How are we supposed to get through this?
Alistair, do you have the sequence yet?
Okay. The sequence is 2-2-4-2-2.
What is this thing? I mean, there's no useful purpose for there to be a bunch of choppy, crushy things in the middle of a hallway.
An enemy shoots at them, and Jason returns fire.
It makes no logical sense. Why is it here?
Because it's on the television
well,
show.
Well, forget it! I'm not doing it! This episode was badly written!
Okay, Commander, now, as soon as the first crusher hits you, I'll tell
me. Just it! Okay, go now.
Grabbing Gwen, Jason steps into the hallway. They watch the rhythmic sequence of the chompers and time out their steps as they make their way forward. Jason drops his particle gun, and a chomper flattens it into a slab of metal and blue goo. Holding hands, they continue through the obstacle. They pause at the end of the hall as a wall of flames rises from a gap in the floor. As the fire ebbs, they leap over the gap.
Whoever wrote this episode should die!
In the transporter room...
This should be interesting.
Guy and Lalayar watch Fred work the controls. The screen shows a grid over the surface of the desert planet. The Garignac appears in the security room. Saris's men stop their card game and gape up at the rock monster, which rounds on them. In the transporter room...
It's the simple things in life you treasure.
Guy shares a smile with Fred and pats his shoulder.
That's great.
Lalayar kisses Fred passionately.
You better get to that.
Guy turns and spots them making out.
Hey, get a room, guys.
Lalayar's tentacles creep up Fred's back.
Whoa!
As they come up for air, he notices them.
Hey, Fred.
The pair continue kissing.
Hey, Fred.
They sink out of view.
Oh, that's not right. No.
In a corridor, Saris's goons run from the Garignac. A door lowers as the rock monster chases them, but the beast pushes it out of its way. The Garignac corners them against an airlock door. An exterior view shows the rock monster and the goons being jettisoned into space. Arriving in the security room with Guy and Lalayar, Fred works controls. In the corridor outside the barracks, Quellic views a wall panel.
Sir, the pressure! It's normalizing!
The barracks door opens.
Arthur!
Rushing inside, Alexander helps Teb to his feet.
Saved! He has saved us! Commander Taggart has saved us!
Alexander's smile fades into an irritated expression.
It's just not fair.
Quellic peers into the corridor.
All right, Quellic. Let's get back to the command deck.
He looks down at a hole in his chest.
I'm shot.
He drops to the floor and Alexander rushes to his side. Alexander and a Thermian drag Quellic into the barracks as an enemy fires at them. The goon finds his gun jammed. Alexander lies Quellic back in his arms.
Quellic?
Quellic opens his eyes and gazes up at Alexander, who flashes him a smile. Blue blood seeps from his chest wound.
Well, that's not too bad. We'll get you to the medical quarters and you'll be fine.
It has been my greatest honor to serve with you. I have been blessed, sir.
Don't speak, Quellic.
Alexander wears a grim expression as Quellic weakens in his arms.
You'll forgive my impertinence, sir. But even though we had never before met, I always considered you as a father to me.
Alexander looks moved.
Quellic?
The dying Thermian's eyes widen.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sun's of Warvan, you shall be avenged.
With tears glistening in his eyes, Quellic smiles faintly. His head goes limp in Alexander's hand as the last breath of life leaves him. Alexander's devastated gaze shifts and grows vengeful. He rises to his feet and peers out the barracks door. Stepping into the hall, he spots the goon fiddling with his malfunctioning weapon. The enemy alien looks up at him and cocks its head to the side. Alexander runs forward and tackles the goon. Elsewhere, Gwen and Jason hurry into a control room.
All right, Grant, I'm here. How do I shut this thing down?
Okay, just push the blue button.
The blue button. Is that it?
Yeah, why? What's wrong?
No, that I just thought it'd be more complicated than that.
Jason lifts a cover off a blue button.
Core implosion estimated in 20 seconds.
A small pedestal beneath the button rises as a screen shows the timer, counting down from 20 seconds. Jason presses the button repeatedly, but nothing happens.
Brandon, it's not working! Brandon!
On Earth, Brandon takes out the trash.
Mother, I cannot stress enough the severity of the commander's predicament.
Get the recyclables!
In the control room on the ship.
Core implosion estimated in 10 seconds.
Jason and Gwen lock eyes.
9.
Gwen, I...
8. 7. 6. Jason. 5. Jason. 4,
they hold each other.
3. 2. 1.
With confused expressions, they look down at the timer and notice it has stopped with only 1 second remaining.
Oh, it always stops at 1 on the show. What were you saying?
On Saris's ship...
Sir! What? The core detonation sequence on the Protector has been aborted.
Impossible! Impossible! Lock a complement of implosion missiles onto the Protector. Tear her apart!
In a corridor on the Protector, Alexander steps over the bodies of Saris's men. His natural hair sticks out of a tear in his skullcap. Jason stops him from karate chopping an enemy.
Oh, he's finished. Alexander, listen to me. It's okay. The Thermians can handle it from here. We gotta go, come on.
The Thermians attack the goon. On the command deck...
We need that armor back up. Get me a forward view right now.
Plasma armor engaged.
The ship shakes.
All right, Tommy, see if you can't lose him in that minefield.
The minefield?
Pedal to the metal right now.
Pedal to the metal.
All right, let's go.
Guy sits at a control station as Tommy steers the vessel into the minefield. A screen on Tommy's station shows the uniformly spaced, prism-shaped explosives.
Good going, Tommy. Great going.
On Saris's ship...
Thrust ahead! Full! Into the field! Go!
The imposing spaceship races after the Protector.
Tommy, can you get us closer to these mines?
Closer!
With her uniform torn open down the front, Gwen looks to Jason. Tommy grins.
I could try.
The Protector bumps into a mine, and others follow the ship. With Saris.
General, I've lost them. The magnetism of the minefield is disrupting our instruments.
He steps away.
Wait! I see something. Yes. Yes, there they are.
Get back on that tail!
I can't, sir.
What? Why not?
Because they're coming right at us.
Fire at will.
Veering away from the minefield, Saris' ship shoots its particle cannon.
Oh! We're getting hammered, Jason! Return fire!
No! Divert all energy to the armor!
How adorable! The actors are going to play war with me.
Saris' ship accelerating toward us at Mark 2!
Accelerate to Mark 4!
Saris' ship continues firing as the Protector speeds toward it.
Let me remind you, Sonny. I am a general. If you are counting on me to blink, then you are making a deadly mistake.
Well, let me tell you something, Saris. It doesn't take a great actor to recognize a bad one. You're sweating.
Armor almost gone, Jason!
You fool. You fail to realize that with your armor gone, my ship will tear through yours like tissue paper.
And what you fail to realize is my ship is dragging mines.
A glimpse shows mines trailing the Protector.
No! Turn! Turn!
The Protector veers away just before colliding with Saris' ship, and the mines impact with the enemy vessel. Saris runs from the explosion and hits a button on his command deck. On the Protector, the actors celebrate as they watch the explosion. Jason looks relieved. Teb helps Mathazar, who walks onto the command deck wearing a metal leg brace. Jason grins.
Mathazar!
He hugs Mathazar.
God, you're alive! Oh, come here.
The ship was a marvel, as big as this. A very clever deception indeed.
Mathazar chokes as he laughs and sits in the captain's chair. The Thermium crew extend their arms out in front of them and clap like seals. Tommy looks toward Jason.
Set a course for home, Commander?
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, it's just point and click. But we're gonna have to go through the black hole, though.
Any objections?
The actors sit.
All right, set her up.
Jason notices Mathazar's downcast expression.
What's the matter, Mathazar?
Mathazar struggles to meet his gaze.
We were hoping you could come with us. But my people have no commander.
Mathazar, I think your people have a great commander.
Jason bows to him and salutes. Mathazar looks overwhelmed with emotion as the Thermian crew does the same. Alexander smiles at Mathazar.
All right, Tommy, take us into the black hole.
Tommy nods with a smile. He hits a button on his console, engaging the turbo drive. The Protector ventures into a swirling black hole. It stretches into particles, then rematerializes on the other side.
We're out!
We're going home.
Systems register functional.
All systems are working, Commander.
Jason, before the black hole, there was an energy surge from Saris' ship.
Let's not worry about that right now, Alexander.
Fred enters.
Fred, what are you doing up here? Shooting me downstairs until we just... Hey.
He aims a gun at Jason.
You know, you could put an eye out with that thing.
A wide grin spreads across Fred's face.
Fred?
He fires. Clutching his chest, Jason rolls on the floor. He notices Fred using a device to transform into Saris. In slow motion, Saris shoots Tommy as he tries to flee. Gwen and Alexander both get shot. They fall to the floor. Jason watches in horror as Saris guns down the Thermian crew. He rolls onto his hands and knees and spots the ship rapidly approaching Earth on the view screen. He crawls toward the captain's chair.
Mathazar!
Mathazar sits up.
Activate
Activate the Omega 13!
He crawls to a console, and a beam of light emits from a floor panel. The blue spheres from the Omega 13 chamber float into the ray of light. A button rises from the captain's chair, and Jason grimaces as he presses it. The spheres coalesce into a ball, then expand, and time reverses.
We're out!
We're going home.
Jason looks stunned.
Systems register functional.
All systems are working, Commander.
Jason, before the black hole, there was an energy surge from Cyrus's ship.
Jason attacks Fred as he enters.
Jason, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Let go of me, man. It's not Fred. That's Cyrus. Listen to me. I'm telling you, it's not Fred. That's Cyrus. He's going to try to kill all of us.
Cyrus transforms, but Mathazar hits him with his cane before he can attack. Mathazar grins at Jason.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Guy aims a gun at Cyrus.
Jason! Jason! I can't slow it down!
The ship is too big to enter the atmosphere. We need to separate or we'll die.
Jason glances between Mathazar, Gwen, and Alexander. He pats Mathazar's arm.
We gotta do it. It's our only hope, Mathazar. Thank you.
Mathazar pats his arm.
Crew to the secondary deck.
The Thermians board the elevator.
Mathazar.
As he joins them, Mathazar turns to Gwen. She blows him a kiss.
Goodbye, my friends.
The Thermians wave and Jason smiles. The elevator doors close and Gwen goes to her station.
Fred, get up to command deck. We're separating.
Alexander takes his seat and Tommy works his controls. In a corridor, Mathazar stops in his tracks as he spots Fred and Lalayar rushing in the opposite direction. He notices them holding hands. She smiles and Mathazar gives them an approving look. Fred salutes and they rush off. An exterior view shows a smaller vessel separating from the larger form of the Protector. Teb pilots the Protector.
On, Teb. On.
Mathazar points stiffly toward the view screen. The smaller vessel enters Earth's atmosphere. In Brandon's living room...
It's the third day of the Galaxy Con, and Jason Nesmith and his entire crew are no-shows here at the big event. Plus to the disappointment...
Brandon carries armfuls of fireworks.
I'll be back soon.
Well, hey, Brandon, where are you going with all those fireworks?
Well, the Protector got super accelerated coming out of the black hole, and it's like nailed the atmosphere at Mark 15, which you guys know is pretty unstable, obviously, so... We're going to help Laredo guide it on the Vox Ultra Frequency Carrier and use Roman candles for visual confirmation.
All right, dinner's at 7.
Brandon hurries out. His parents share a look.
Well, he's outside.
His father returns to his newspaper. The small Protector vessel plummets toward Earth. In the convention center parking lot, Brandon holds his Vox high above his head as fireworks explode behind him. The ship streaks through the sky toward the two rows of people setting off the Roman candles. Brandon stretches his arm higher above his head. The ship's weight knocks him to the ground. The vessel bounces and skids into parked cars as it lands. In the convention hall, the spaceship bursts through a wall, scattering fans as they flee. Several people get knocked to the floor. The vessel comes to a stop at a stage set up for a Galaxy Quest panel. A ceiling chunk falls. Costumed fans get to their feet and gape toward the stage. Exhaust streams from a port on the ship's hull. A chunk of debris rolls down its sloping side. Brandon and his friends enter. A door on the side of the vessel slides open. Tommy staggers out. A bespectacled MC rises at a podium, and a spotlight shines on Tommy. As Tommy gazes out at the applauding crowd, the MC lifts a mic to his lips.
Lieutenant Laredo! Tommy Weber!
Tommy lifts his hand to his brow.
Hi, Tommy!
Brandon and his friends exchange smiles.
The beautiful Tommy Madison!
Fixes her hair as she steps out.
Yes! Wow, what a fetch!
Guy emerges.
Another shipmate! Yes, come on the moon!
Fred and Lalayar follow.
Ships, Tech Sergeant Chen! Red Claw!
On board, Saris regains consciousness as Alexander shuffles out.
Give him a big hand, he's British!
Jason follows.
Yes, sir!
He gazes out at the cheering crowd and smiles. His eyes drift to his disheveled friends, who beam. Tommy and Alexander hug him.
Great driving, Tommy.
In the crowd, Brandon and his friends celebrate. Wielding his gun, Saris emerges from the ship. Noticing him, Jason grabs a gun from Tommy's waistband and rolls across the stage.
Quick, quick, move, 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 move!
He fires at the enemy alien just as Saris aims. Saris implodes. Jason tosses the gun back to Tommy.
Come on! Give that for the crew! The NSCA protector! True love!
Gwen takes Jason's hand and he dips her into a kiss.
Wow!
A teen girl in the crowd faints. Jason pulls out of the embrace.
What a show!
Facing the audience, Jason spots Brandon and his friends. He flashes them a warm smile and salutes them. The teens return the gesture. Shifting his eyes to the expanse of crowd, Jason turns to his crew. He gestures to them, and they exchange confused glances. He beckons them forward.
Come on, come on!
They all link hands and stand in a line facing the audience. The cast members and Lalayar bow deeply.
Don't forget to buy a Galaxy Quest t-shirt! On your way out, thank you.
A title appears over the protector in space. Galaxy Quest, the journey continues.
And now, back again after 18 years, the new adventures of Galaxy Quest.
Opening credits appear. Jason Nesmith as Commander Peter Quincy Taggart. Alexander Dane as Dr. Lazarus. Gwen DeMarco as Lieutenant Tawny Madison. Gwen smiles at the camera. Fred Kwan as Tech Sergeant Chen. Lalayar kisses him and they grin at us. Jane Doe as Lalayar. Tommy taps his station's console, then pumps his fist. Tommy Weber as Laredo. And introducing Guy Fleegman as Security Chief Rock Ingersoll. Guy turns and gives a toothy grin with finger guns. The Protector soars toward a distant nebula. It engages its turbo drive and speeds off. Cut to black. Remaining opening credits. Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Tony Shalhoub, Sam Rockwell, Daryl Mitchell, Enrico Calantoni, Robin Sachs, Patrick Breen. Casting by Deborah Zane, CSA. Co-producers Suzanne Ellis and Sona Gorgoris. Music by David Newman. Visual effects supervisor Bill George. Alien makeup and creature effects Dan Winston. Costume designer Albert Walsky. Editor Don Zimmerman, ACE. Production designer Linda DeSena. Director of photography Jerzy Zielinski. Executive producer Elizabeth Cantillon. Produced by Mark Johnson, Charles Neuwirth. Story by David Howard. Screenplay by David Howard and Robert Gordon. Directed by Dean Pariseau. End credits roll. Copyright 1999 DreamWorks LLC. All rights reserved. DreamWorks LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by DreamWorks Distribution, LLC.